Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Colbún conference call 3Q16. My name is Mara, and I will be your operator for today. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. If at any time you require operator assistance, please press star zero, and we will be happy to assist you. Now, I would like to turn the call over to Sebastián Moraga. Please proceed.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Colbún's third quarter 2016 conference call. My name is Sebastián Moraga. I am the CFO of the company, and joining me today are Miguel Alarcón, our Deputy CFO, and Verónica Cubillas and Soledad Errázuriz, members of the investor relations team. I hope that you have received our third quarter earnings report and an earnings review presentation that we have prepared to complement the analysis of our figures. Otherwise, you can download them at the investor section of our website. Agenda for today on slide two is as follows. We will begin talking about the relevant highlights of the quarter to then analyze in detail last quarter's results. After that, we will provide an update on our growth opportunities. Following the presentation, there will be time to participate in a Q&A session, and questions will be accepted in either English or Spanish. Now, please go to slide number three to review some highlights of this quarter. First, revenues for the third quarter of 2016 totaled $334 million, in line with the revenues of $3,037 million for the same quarter last year. Second, this quarter posted an EBITDA of $123 million, 32% lower than the EBITDA of $181 million of the third quarter of 2015. The decrease in EBITDA was mainly given by the lower rainfalls recorded in Chile during the quarter and the resulting lower hydro generation. The decrease was also explained by a lower non-recurring income from an insurance compensation received in 2015. The hydrological year has presented lower rainfalls compared to an average year pattern. The hydro condition has not been uniform throughout Chile, where the most affected basins by lower rainfalls are located in the southern part of the central integrated system. In this line, Colbún's hydro generation during the third quarter of this year decreased 43% compared to the same quarter last year. Due to the lower hydro generation, together with a lower generation from natural gas, implied that Colbún met 82% of its commercial commitments with baseload capacity during the third quarter of this year. A net income of $28 million was registered in the third quarter of 2016, increasing by 62% compared to the $76 million in the same quarter last year. This is mainly explained by the EBITDA reduction explained above. During this quarter, continuing with the financial structure optimization strategy, Colbún prepaid debt for a total amount of $250 million. The prepaid obligation corresponds to a bank loan which had expiring date in 2018. This transaction adds to the debt prepayments of $241 million performed in the second quarter of 2016. All of the prepayments mentioned previously are part of an optimization strategy of financial debt aiming for a competitive average cost of debt and a longer weighted average life. With the above, the company registered a gross debt of $1,741 million in this quarter, in line with the third quarter of last year. Since the impact of debt prepayments explained before was offset by the incorporation of Fenix Power financial debt. On the other hand, Colbún registered a net debt of $1,120 million during this quarter, above from the $780 million registered in the third quarter last year, and this increase is also explained by the consolidation of Fenix Power financial debt. Now, I will turn to Soledad, who will cover the main drivers of last quarter results and operations.
Thank you, Sebastián, and hello to everyone. Please move to slide 5 for a review of the main financial figures this quarter, starting with a physical sales and generation balance analysis in Chile. Total generation reached 2,412 gigawatt hours, decreasing by 26% compared to the third quarter of 2015. mainly due to a lower hydrogen ratio given the lower rainfalls recorded during this period, and also to the lower thermal gas power generation, partially offset by higher thermal coal, fire, and diesel generation. Physical withdrawals from customers under contract reached 2,781 gigawatt-hour, in line with the same quarter of the previous year. Total energy sales this quarter decreased by 13% compared to the third quarter of 2015, as Colbún didn't record net sales on the spot market in this quarter. Given the lower generation of the period, Colbún recorded net purchases in the spot market of 433 gigawatt-hour, compared with net sales of 456 gigawatts in the third quarter of 2015. Given the above, the generation mix of the third quarter of 2016 allowed 82% of the company's commercial commitments to be supplied with efficient energy, hydroelectricity, coal, and natural gas. Now, please continue to slide 6 to analyze Chile's EBITDA for 2016's third quarter. First, revenues for this quarter totaled $285 million, down by 15% compared to the same quarter last year, mainly given by the absence of spot market sales due to the dry hydrology conditions of this period, and because 2015's third quarter includes a non-recurring income of $22 million of an insurance compensation for loss of profit due to the failure that affected Blanco Power Plant in January of 2014. Raw materials and consumables used increased 14% compared to the third quarter of 2015, mainly explained by a lower hydro generation, which led to a higher purchases to the spot market and to a higher diesel consumption. Overall, EBITDA for this quarter reached $107 million, decreasing by 41% compared to the third quarter of 2015. Now, please continue to slide 7 for a review of the main financial figures of Fenix Power, starting with a physical sales and generation balance analysis. The analysis presented below compares periods prior to the acquisition of Fenix in order to provide a better view of the unit's operations. Thus, Fenix results for the year 2015 are presented only for comparative purposes. On a quarterly basis, thermal gas power generation of the company reached 912 gigawatt-hour, up by 7% compared to the same quarter last year, mainly explained by the annual maintenance to the power plant performed in August last year. This year, a major annual maintenance was conducted between June and July. Due to the maintenance, the power plant was disconnected from mid to late June and operated in a one-by-one mode with one gas turbine and one steam turbine throughout most of July. Physical withdrawals from customers under contract reached 661 gigawatt-hours, 16% lower when compared to the third quarter of 2015, mainly explained by the end of bilateral short-term contracts between July and September of 2016. Spot market balance reached net sales for 224 gigawatt-hours in this quarter versus net sales of 47 gigawatt-hours in the third quarter of 2015. Given the above, during 2016's third quarter, 100% of the company's commercial commitments were met with own generation. Now, please continue to slide 8 to analyze Peru's EBITDA for the period. First, operating revenues from ordinary activities for the quarter reached $49 million, down by 11% compared to the same quarter last year, mainly due to lower sales to regulated clients and to lower income from transmission tolls. The former was partially offset by higher capacity sales to other generators. Raw materials and consumables used decreased 24% compared to the third quarter of 2015, mainly due to lower costs associated with the plant's operation. Although EBITDA for this quarter reached $16 million, with an EBITDA margin of 33%. Now, let's move to slide number 9 for the consolidated non-operating income and net income analysis. Non-operating income of 2016's third quarter recorded losses of $21 million, higher than the losses of $80 million in the same quarter last year. The increase in losses is mainly explained by higher financial expenses due to the consolidation of Phoenix Power's debt, and by the effect of registering on the P&L expenses that were previously associated to the debt repaid. This effect was partially offset by, firstly, the impact from variations of the exchange rate in Chilean peso to dollar, and secondly, by higher financial income from favorable investment rates. The company recorded in the third quarter of 2016 a net income of $28 million, increasing by 62% compared to the same quarter from the previous year, mainly explained by the lower generation recorded this period. Now, continuing with this conference call, please go to slide number 11, where Sebastián will give you an update on the status of our growth over options.
Thank you, Soledad. And as we have mentioned before, we continue searching for growth opportunities in Chile and other countries in the region, such as Peru and Colombia, in order to maintain a leading position in the power generation business and to diversify our sources of income. Now, in terms of our local projects, we announced in December 2014 the construction of La Mina project. The commissioning of the project is expected in the first month of next year. Estimated CapEx, including transmission lines, is approximately $130 million. At the end of this quarter, the project has a progress of 90% according to plan. La Mina qualifies as an NCRE mini hydropower plant, which contributes to Colbún's obligation to comply with the renewable requirements of the Law 2025. During the third quarter of the year, some progresses were the ending of intake and fixed barrier, the ending of the pipe mounting pressure and in the powerhouse, and the ending of civil works for the assembly of the generation unit. Also, the Loma Alta transmission line started construction in November of 2015, and the progress at the end of the third quarter of this year is 96%, which is also according to plan. Regarding the San Pedro hydro project, in June 2015, the environmental impact assessment for the changes to the project was submitted, being initially accepted in the process by the Environmental Assessment Service of Los Ríos region. However, in August 2015, the authority decided to early terminate the process due to the lack of relevant and essential information. The decision was confirmed after the company filed an administrative appeal with new information. Notwithstanding the foregoing, the company is analyzing the observations from all the public services in order to collect and prepare a timely response with technical founded information required by the authority. In parallel, we continue with a broad explicative and clarifying meeting process plan with municipalities, communities, neighborhoods, regional authorities, and indigenous communities, among other stakeholders, in order to timely re-enter the project. Now, regarding our coal-fired Santa Maria II thermal project of 350 megawatts of capacity, the company is analyzing the social, economic, and commercial dimensions of the project to timely evaluate its development. With this, we are concluding our third quarter 2016 results review. Thank you for listening, and now we are open to answer your questions. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your phone. If your question has been answered or you would like to withdraw your question, press star 2. Questions will be taken in the order received. Please press star 1 to begin. And your first question comes from Andrew McCarthy with Citi.
Hi, thanks very much for the call. My question is regarding strategy for non-conventional renewables. Beyond La Mina, I was just wondering what approach you would be taking in terms of whether you'd be developing your own projects, maybe looking at M&A, or maybe partnering with with third parties, in particular thinking about the Chilean market?
Andrew, hi, this is Miguel. How are you? So I would say that, as you mentioned, we have several options to increase our participation in the renewable sector. As of today, as you know, we've been following a strategy based on looking at existing assets through M&A, and I would say that we plan to continue doing so, but we're also open to analyze other options as building it by ourselves or perhaps partnering with other companies. So in summary, we're considering every available option as we have done in the past.
Okay, great. And just one follow-up question, if I may, on just general M&A strategy. We saw the announcement of the buyers of the Duke Energy assets in Latin America, which was maybe a sort of an important opportunity in the sector. Just given sort of the result of that, are there any sort of particular geographies that you're now favouring over others between sort of Chile, Colombia, and Peru going forward? If you could maybe comment on that, that would be great. Thanks.
Yes. So basically, Andrew, we continue focusing our efforts on the same markets we have announced publicly. This is basically Chile, Peru, and Colombia.
Great. Thanks a lot.
As a reminder, to ask an audio question, please press star 1 on your phone. And we have a follow-up question from Andrew McCarthy.
Hi again. I just wanted to ask one other thing on the operational side. I'm just wondering, to what extent are you thinking that in the future, if there are lower spot prices in the Chilean market, whether that may enable you to perhaps reduce generation from some of your less efficient or more costly plants in terms of the generation capacity that you'd be looking to contract in future PPAs. Just wondering if you've been giving any thought to that in your sort of general contracting strategy going forward. Thanks a lot.
Andrew, this is Miguel again. So first of all, as you know, we cannot comment on expectations, on forecast, on future prices. Having said that, as of today, we still have a relevant amount of energy that it's good and contracted at least up until 2023. And between now and that year, there are still a relevant amount of energy options being tendered in the next years, and we also anticipate a relevant number of free clients seeking to recontract existing PPAs. So as of today, I would say that, again, as said at the beginning, we cannot comment on one, expectation of future prices, and number two, the potential impact or effects of those prices.
Okay, understood. I guess the other way of maybe asking it is are you still seeing Santa Maria and Nuenco, or maybe one of the Nuenco units, as part of your sort of long-term contractable base of capacity?
Yes. As you know, those are the projects that we have in the most, I would say, advanced phase of our portfolio, and those are still relevant options to us that will be analyzed in the future because, as you know, no investment decision has been made yet.
No, but I refer to the existing plants that you have, Santa Maria 1 and Nuenco, whether you'd be seeking to contract those. I know you've obviously got Santa Maria 1 contracted fairly long out, but perhaps Nuenco, whether that's a plant that you're going to be seeking to contract going forward?
Yes, we still consider that both assets you mentioned, Nehuenco and Santa Maria, are still very competitive options to produce energy, Andrew.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Your next question comes from the line of Arturo Murua with Santander.
Hi, thanks for the call. Regarding to Peruvian operations, I would like to know if there's something specific in the sharp decline in generation costs in Phoenix Power, which this quarter reached an average of $19.4 per megawatt, and the last two quarters, the average was near to 25. Thanks.
Hi, Arturo. This is Miguel. No, in summary, there's no relevant effect affecting the cost of producing energy at Phoenix. I would say that the business is still within the expected range of variable costs, possible variable costs, and we, as you know, we've also said that we're still in the, I would say, fine-tuning process after the acquisition. And also, we're also doing important maintenance within the plant that's also affecting that cost and could improve the efficiency of the operation.
Okay, thanks. Very clear.
And there are no additional questions. Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Murilo Riccini with Colbum.
Hello, good morning. Thanks for the call. I would like to have a call, better call about the SG&A expenses registered in this quarter. They increased around 20% year over year. Well, we should expect this level going forward, or this specifically point in this line? Thanks.
Willow, hi, can you please repeat your question?
Sure. Look, at this quarter, SG&A expenses increased about 20% year over year. I'm talking about Chilean operations, right? So we should expect these levels going forward?
Murilo, this is Miguel. I would say that there has been no material change in the SG&A level going forward in Chile. Other than that, we are open to then further analyze the number and maybe get back to you, but as a concept, no material change in this line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Once again, to ask an audio question, press star 1 on your phone. Your next question comes from Nicholas Lomblos. Please proceed.
Hi, thank you very much for the conference call. I have a couple of quick questions. The first one is, can you explain us a little bit the problem you had in Blanco Power Plant last year? And what was the amount of the insurance compensation you received? The second question is, can you give us some color about your strategy or your position with respect to the hydro and water rights? Do you plan to buy them from the Chile? Do you want to sell them? Thank you very much.
Hi. Regarding Blanco, we received around 33 million. 21.5 million was for the loss of profits compensation that entailed EBITDA, and also 10.5 another million for the physical damage related to a loss that happened in January 2014. Okay, so that's regarding Blanco. Regarding the next question will be taken by Sebastián.
Hi, Nicolas. Regarding Hidroicen, at this moment we have no public information to disclose, but what we can say is exactly what we include in our financial statements. That is that Colbún maintains the conviction that the development of this hydro potential presents benefits for the country's growth and represents a source of potential long-term value.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
There are no questions. Thank you.
Are there any further questions?
There are no questions at this time.
Okay, so thank you, everyone, for joining this conference call, and we hope to see you all again for the next quarter review, and have a nice weekend.
Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes today's conference. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect. Have a great day.